Welcome to the Let's Get Real podcast with Justin and Trisha Davis.
Honest conversations about life, love, and leadership.
Welcome to season four. Well, guys, it is episode 40 on the Let's Get Real podcast, and we're talking about transitions.
Something that we are pros at.
It is true. And speaking of transitions, we have a great weekend experience that is really meant for couples who are pretty much in transition. Maybe you're like transitioning out of a season of life or transitioning just out of a really difficult time and looking for a way to reconnect. And Refinest Weekend is taking place the weekend of May 3rd through the 5th in the beautiful Virgin Hotel, which is in the district of Music Row. It's just a really cool vibe. And we'll talk about a little bit more of that. But if that is something you are interested in, where can they find information about
that? Go to refineus.org/weekend. And we want to share this with you because the early bird rate is going to expire on April the 8th.
And it's limited space.
It is. So we have three spots left. And so we would love to have you join us before the price goes up. And that's not really anything we're in control of because the hotel is going to raise our prices after April 8th.
This is true.
It's all inclusive. The whole weekend is covered with your registration. But we would love to pour into your marriage and allow God to transform your heart and the heart of your relationship over those 3 days.
Okay, so you guys know I love asking this question when you are on here listening. I want you to think of like the first memory of transition. Maybe for you, it was moving schools or your whole family moving. Maybe it was, you know, a transition to, you know, parents going through a divorce and they're getting remarried. Like we all have these like first experiences of transition. Why are you laughing? Justin's smiling really big. Did you remember something?
Well, my whole life is a transition. I mean, I moved 17 times in the same town from the time I was in kindergarten until I graduated from high school.
And there was one move, you guys, where we...
I was in college. This was move number 19.
Were we dating?
We were dating.
Okay. And yeah. So Justin brought me home to his hometown.
Yeah, I was going to have you meet my parents.
Oh, really? That was the first time?
Yeah.
And we show up at the house that he thought his family was at, and they weren't there anymore.
Another family lived there. So I knocked on the door because it was locked, and somebody else comes to the door, and I'm like, I'm looking for Claudia Davis. Nobody from that name lives here. I'm like, well, that's impossible because this is my address.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, we just moved in like a month ago. And my parents had moved and failed to tell me.
I know. Did we have cell phones?
Were they trying? No. It was 1994.
You guys were so old.
We barely had landlines.
But now, literally 30 years later, Our kid, we're in a transition for our family personally. We've got 5 kids, and 3 of the 5, well, really, 1 of the 5 is like permanently out. So Mike is married, and
I'm just joking.
He's been married for, it's going to be 6 years, which is awesome. And then our second guy, he is home because he's doing grad school, which we're super proud of him. But
he transitioned out, then transitioned back.
Yeah.
Now he's transitioning out again in a year.
Yeah. So he's only here for a year. And then Isaiah, who's in college, just made the really big decision that he's going to stay in Nashville. He goes to school at Lipscomb University. He's going to like live there, which is, it's a different transition for our family. Like we are so proud of our kids, but at the same time, it's like his transition is, I don't know, an ending point for Justin and I. And then our other two are our home. So did I forget a child?
Well, no. Jalen has had some transitions over the last year. It's really more of his story to tell, but Janiyah is getting ready to transition into high school.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah. So,
that's nuts.
So, I mean, I think there's an aspect of where transitions are a part of life, you know, but I think, you know, we were having this conversation a couple nights ago, actually, you know, a couple weeks ago now, about last names, because, you know, I found out twice that my dad isn't my dad. And so everyone was making fun of my last name, what it could have been.
If you're listening to the podcast for the first time, you may want to check out episode, I'm not really sure, but welcome to the Let's Get Real podcast. We just kind of put stuff out there and we laugh. So
anyway, so what Janiyah says is we laugh so we don't cry.
Right.
And so we were talking about my name could have been Kiger, but it's not. And then it could have been Swearingen, but it's not because it's Davis, because I was adopted by my dad that I thought was my dad. That's not my dad. But anyway, but I just thought as we were starting this podcast, my last name could be Transition because it feels like between ministry, between marriage, between kids, you've said this repeatedly. I'm just ready to not be in a transition.
Yeah, it's true.
But I don't know, just looking at scripture, looking at just life in general, I don't know if that's actually possible.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, that when you think of the life of Moses and the Israelites in that timestamp of history, they went through like tremendous amount of transition, both like geographically and then culturally, from, you know, being free to being enslaved to being free again to the wilderness to finally making it into the land of milk and honey. But then there was the Philistines. Like, there was always transition. And I think the confusion that happens for all of us is transitions can be confused with barriers. Like, I can't believe this, I have to do this. Like, maybe for you, you are a college student getting ready to graduate here in May, and you just thought life was just going to have this really clear path for you in this transition, and it's not there, and it's making you kind of freak out. You are not alone and not crazy in that. Maybe for you, you're in a season where you, you know, are going from just you and your spouse to now you had your first baby, and it's just different. The way you connected is different. It's been a transition. And so we want to talk about...
But it's a transition that could produce a barrier.
True.
Yeah.
True.
So some transitions start out as like a stage of life,
mm-hmm.
but then if you're not ready for them, or if you're kind of resistant to them, mm-hmm. or maybe you're caught off guard by them,
yeah,
and they those can are become like barriers to
unwanted
your relationship with God, to your relationship with your spouse. We've struggled as adults relating with our parents on transitions. We've struggled as adults, as parents of adults,
yeah,
in times of transition. So I think just because a transition starts out good doesn't mean it always stays good. And so I think that's why we want to have this conversation, because your perspective and attitude and really relationship with God can really dictate how you handle and navigate transitions.
Yeah. And there's unwanted transitions. There's, you know, loss, death of a loved one, or a breakup. Maybe a loss of a job, or, you know, your company got taken over and you have the same job, but it's with completely different hierarchy, totally, you know, just different. It's interesting when I look at banks, and like one minute they have one name and the next minute I'm like, okay, is that a new bank? It's like, oh no, they just became a different name. Maybe, you know, an unwanted divorce, like all of that are transitions. And what we've learned is there's a pattern for all of us, that if you find yourself in the midst of transition, that you don't have to like succumb to it. I think there's a part of like that feels defeating of when transition happens, good or bad, of like what has to happen to get to the other side.
Yeah. I think there's been seasons of our life where we've experienced a transition, and because we have felt depleted, or because we've equated God's blessing with God's favor, like with God's love with his favor, you know what I mean? So if God loves us, why are we experiencing this loss? Why are we experiencing this transition? Why is this something that we don't want now in our life? And so I think in those times, you can focus on all that's been lost, or you can begin to shift your focus on the opportunity that the transition is providing you. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't grieve. It doesn't mean you don't acknowledge reality. It doesn't mean the joy of my Lord is my strength. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just being fake or
it's
obligated.
Not always bad. It's sometimes like even good transitions, they're good, but there's still transitions. You get a job promotion. Having a kid is awesome, or getting married, or getting your dream job, or
retirement.
In our case, moving to a house, you know, like those, they're not always negative, but wouldn't you agree that transition kind of starts from negativity in a sense of like anticipating what could go wrong rather yes. than what will go right?
Yeah. And a lot of that depends on, you know, we have friends that have lived in the same town, the same house, Riley's parents.
That's our daughter-in-law.
Yes.
Who's amazing. We love her.
They have lived in the same house for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. They have lived in the same town, in the same house for over 30 years. It doesn't mean they haven't experienced transition because right. they have. They've experienced job transition. They've married off two daughters. Like, there has been transition, but what has been true about their life isn't true about ours. I've moved 17 times as a kid. We've moved 13 times.
We as Justin and I and our family.
Yes.
I don't know. I think so. This will be our like 14th move. We're addicted to moving, you guys.
But how transition may feel for someone who hasn't moved very much and how it feels for us can be way different. So I think if you're comparing or you're judging yourself and how you respond or navigate transition based on somebody else in your family or somebody else in your life, sometimes that's unfair because, you know, I've talked to people all the time, pastors especially, that they've moved several times to take different ministry positions that they felt like were better fits. And then I have friends who have been at the same place for 22 mm-hmm. years.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't mean one is wrong and one is right. I think that's where it can get negative, where you feel like, well, man, if I'm changing jobs, is that a reflection on me?
Yeah.
Or, you know, if we're moving houses, is that because we're unstable? Like, I think we can kind of allow our mind to become negative on something that could be very, very positive.
Yeah. And so as the listener, I would just take inventory, like, where are you in your season of life right now? Are you in transition? Are you like, hallelujah, I am out of transition? How do you approach it? Like, that topic is, to Justin's point, when you think about the different transitions you've been through, do you find yourself struggling with the cultural piece of it? What will people think? Like, I love my single friends and they just get hammered. Like, for some reason, just being single is just always a transition rather than a lifestyle. I'm like, why can't they just be single? Like,
yeah, you'll arrive once you have somebody that you're married to.
Yeah, and singleness is not a transition.
It's not a disease. It's not less than.
No, it's your choice. And so anyway, you know, I think it's important.
That's a whole other podcast episode that we're going to go off on.
Single friends are like, hallelujah. But I think, you know, just for you to wrestle with that question, like, how do I think about transition? What was taught to me growing up? Was I taught to fear when things change? Was I taught to like embrace it and ride the wave? And maybe like even in your personality, regardless of what you were taught, it's gone against the grain of how you're wired. And so you've carried that into adulthood that you're like, man, I'm fine with this transition, but what I was taught, it's always like I'm wrestling with that. Like, we all have that.
Yeah. And I think I was just talking with one of our kids today because, as Trish mentioned, we're getting ready to move again in the middle of April. You know, just right after Easter, right before the Refinance weekend.
I feel like your eyes twitching a little bit, but...
It probably is. But we were just talking... I was talking to him about, you know, this aspect of moving that can feel like you're losing something or like you don't have control anymore, but it can also be viewed as like a fresh start, a new beginning. Mm-hmm. Like there's a opportunity there. And I think as you and I have been together now for 30 years, your perspective of moving and my perspective of moving sometimes has been different, and mm-hmm. it's caused conflict because we didn't empathize with the other person's perspective. We just thought, well, how I feel about this is the right way to feel. So mm-hmm. get on my level.
Yeah.
And both of us came at that perspective. And so I think, you know, you talk about capacity a lot and just mm-hmm. recognizing your capacity. I think that's an important part of being able to navigate transition in a healthy way.
Yeah. There's a couple of like through lines that I feel have carried us through transition and people we've walked with, you know, over the past 30 years in ministry who have gone through transition, whether all the examples that we shared. And it's so important to know your capacity. And what I mean by that is, what are your stressors? What are your strengths? So my family would tell you that, like, my strength is that I couldn't do a Rubik's Cube to save my life, but I sure can pack a moving van like nobody's business. Like, what I can fit in there is pretty magical. It's a strength of mine. But I also know my capacity of, like, how much I can do and not get burned out. And so for even in this transition, specifically for our family being a move, I've, like, mapped out what my capacity is. And so I've asked my family, hey, rather than us doing one big move, can we, over the next 3 weeks, just pick a couple of hours on Saturday to do some of the heavy stuff so that we're not, like, tapped out? So it's just kind of knowing your capacity. I think another aspect that is helpful when you're going through transition is, how do you rest? Now, you may just laugh if you're listening in the car, or, I don't know, wherever you are in your home. Because rest is kind of like, what does rest have to do with transition? Transition takes us out of rhythms. And oftentimes the first thing to go when we're off rhythms is the things we need the most. And that is, first and foremost, rest. I would say probably the bigger umbrella would be health, like choosing healthy things. So we stop going to the gym, or we, you know, if you're on the road a lot, you find yourself not eating very healthy. But when you don't know where, how you rest, then the transition begins to boss you in your schedule rather than you bossing how you go through the transition.
Well, and I think what happens too is we begin to equate rest with escape. And so those two things are not the same. Like, escapism is the unhealthy version of rest, right? So we look to things, whether that be relationships, or that be busyness, or that be, you know, overeating. Like, there's certain things, binge watching Netflix. Like, there's certain things that we do when we're not tapped into the healthy aspect of rest that then become, they're almost like, you know, like a double whammy on top of the transition. Then you're engaging in unhealthy patterns on top of the pattern that you're already out of rhythm with.
I was just talking about this with my friend, Noelle. She runs this, like, awesome, awesome ministry called World Help. If, like, anytime you see anything happening in the world, World Help is on the ground and on the front lines, and they just do amazing ministry work. And so obviously, I was with her recently, and we were just talking about how we rest. And I kind of felt, like, silly even asking her, which she would never, like, make me feel this way. She's one of the most kindest people I've met on the planet. But, like, the girl travels the world into some of the, like, hardest places and the hardest, you know, things going on. And we talked about, like, how do you find rest? I mean, she basically, her ministry is living in transition with other countries. And I told her, she thought this was so funny, but it's true. As a follower of Christ, we can kind of guilt ourselves in, like, resting, that it has to be, like, I'm not saying for it to be unholy, but, like, resting has to look very specific to spiritual disciplines. So, which are, like, solitude, being in God's word. But rest is sometimes just rest. Something you're doing without purpose. You're not accomplishing anything. You're literally just resting. And so one of the things I noticed about myself is, when I rest, I can't listen to worship music, because I am such a highly emotional person that I will, like, get all wrapped up into worship music that's about, like, heavy, hard things. And then I'm not resting. I'm thinking, you know, and this is different between, like, connecting with God and having a heart of repentance and growth. I don't mean it in that way. I mean, like, true, just resting. And so I told her, I'm like, I don't listen to worship music. And she just thought that was the funniest thing. But I know that about myself. So how would you, Justin, encourage someone who's like, I'm in a transition. I feel like I know my capacity, maybe my capacity is being stretched in this transition, but I know it. How do you find rest when things are off kilter? Like when you're not in a rhythm and you don't know what is next?
Well, I think, and this is especially true for American Christians, I think we sometimes confuse rest with comfort. And we think, well, God wants me to be comfortable. But there are transitions that you see all throughout the scripture where God calls people out of their comfort zone. And so I would really start with this idea of, is my goal to eliminate transitions so I can just live a comfortable, predictable life? Well, that may not be God's best for you. Or is there, are there transitions that God is calling you to that will take you outside of your comfort zone, but they won't compromise your character? They won't compromise God's best for you, right? And so I think that's a really important distinction, because we can make the purpose and the desire of the American dream to be comfortable and eliminate risk and eliminate, you know, transition out of our life. And that becomes our view of success, where, you know, God consistently calls people outside of their comfort zone and sometimes uses transition so that he can deepen our dependence on him. And so maybe if you are in a season of transition, maybe it's unwanted, maybe it's good, but it's dismantling kind of your identity. Maybe it is unforeseen, right? Like something happened in your life and you're trying to embrace it, but you weren't expecting it. Maybe God wants to use that to disrupt, but also grow you, right? And so it's not punishment and it's not God's displeasure with you. Maybe he is looking at your circumstances and saying, hey, I can mold and shape your character through this. I want to not just allow you to arrive at a destination. I want to change who you are becoming on your way to that destination. And I think if we can maintain, you know, once we know our capacity and once we kind of identify how we can find margin, another word I think
for
rest
would be, that's probably even a better word,
would be margin, right? Because you don't want to, if you're stretched so thin and you never have the capacity that you need to rest, then I think margin would be a word that I would kind of use in addition to rest. Well, then you begin to know how God is leading you in the midst of that transition. I think it's hard sometimes because God, even though he's silent, he's not absent. But we've had seasons, I would say, I won't say within the last 10 minutes, but definitely within the last 10 months, where I've just said, I just want to know what God wants and I'll do it. Mm-hmm. I just want to know, you know, and you know, where you're not hearing God's voice, you're not sensing God's prompting. Those are the most frustrating, I think, aspects of transition, because you want to do what is right. You want to do what's wise. You want to do what's best for your family, but you don't have necessarily a clear picture of what that is. How do you navigate transitions in the waiting for what is next?
Yeah. You know, we're recording this on Good Friday. And as I was reading through the Gospel of Matthew and just reading through, you know, the Last Supper, and it was a huge transition for Jesus. I mean, he was transitioning literally from life to death to resurrection. And you see this cadence of him knowing what his capacity is as he's in the garden and in finding rest. And, you know, I think our last piece of encouragement is to know like who you need around you. And so Jesus invites the disciples in. You know, it was about presenting what was about to happen, but it was about community. It was an invitation. And Jesus knew the transition that was about to happen, and yet he still goes to God in prayer and he said, please take this cup from me, but let your will be done. It's such a moment of humanity that even the Savior of the world felt that weight of what was going to happen. And I think we read that from an earthly perspective, but I can't imagine the spiritual perspective of what Jesus knew what was on the line.
Yeah.
And he knew that his friends were going to diss him. He knew that people weren't going to be there for him when he needed them the most, but he still invited them in. I think the cross is just a reminder that no matter where you are, if you love transition or if transition's really hard, that at the end of the day, we do have a Savior that knows and understands and wants to meet you in it. Like, he's not dangling the life that you could have if you just get through this transition well. He's saying, no, I'm here now, and I know what it's like to be in that under the most extreme circumstances. But he did it in the context of community. And I think when things feel hard or you're out of rhythm, rest goes out the window and community goes out the window. We stop calling people. We stop like connecting with people because we're just like trying to swim upstream. But we have found that if we are realistic about our capacity, if we find little tiny moments of rest, we're not talking about like we take a vacation, but like we take a time out before we like annihilate one another. And we get honest of like how we need each other. It makes transitions, if they're good transitions, even better. And it makes hard transitions bearable.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that may be where you are today. Maybe you are in a season where you feel like God has abandoned you, or you feel like you're all alone. Can I just say, God knows exactly where you are. He sees you. And maybe this podcast is just a small reminder that no matter what you're going through, no matter what lies ahead of you, that God is going before you and he does have a plan for you. And it's hard at times to see that what is difficult or what is painful or what is broken, what it feels unbearable, can actually be leveraged for good. But that is the Easter story. The darkest day of humanity was Friday, and the best day for eternity was 3 days later. And so your Easter moment is coming. And sometimes a death is required, right? Sometimes a death is required for resurrection to happen. And so if you feel like something is lost, if you feel like something is broken, resurrection is coming. And so I'm grateful that you have put up with our transitions, and we're grateful to have you as a part of the Let's Get Real podcast. And we can't wait to share some other stories this month of people who are navigating real life transitions and how that might meet you right where you're at. Well, guys, we hope you enjoyed that conversation about transitions. And as Trish said at the beginning of this program, we want to invite you to a weekend experience called the Refinest Weekend. It's May 3rd through the 5th in Nashville, Tennessee. And maybe you're feeling hopeless. Maybe you're in a season of transition that you did not want or you did not foresee in your marriage relationship, and you are disconnected, or maybe your marriage is in distress. This weekend is for you. And so go to refineus.org/weekend. And if you enter the word podcast, we're going to offer you a $500 discount on your registration. And so we'd love to see you. We have a few slots left, and we'd love to see you May 3rd through the 5th at the Refinest Weekend. Talk to you soon.